Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we see a simple yet important message about what we as Christians need to do while we wait for Christ's return. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19.
Let's open our Bibles this morning where they situate themselves, the Hebrews chapter 10, a really rich portion of scriptures that will sort of slow down our normal pace for this morning. It's very teachy and it's very rich, and I'm really asking the Lord to allow it to take deep root in our hearts. I'd have you stand, but you've been seated and comfortable for a while now, so you can be seated and stay seated. So don't get up, just be comfortable. But we're in Hebrews 10, verse 19. We'll read down to verse 25 here today. If you didn't bring your Bibles, the verses are on the screen behind me. Please follow with your eyes as I read out loud. I do this so that the word can sink deep in your hearts initially, and then I revisit it with you so that we can dig up a little bit of some of the goodness and the golden nuggets that are there. The writer here says this in Hebrews 10, verse 19. He says this, having therefore brethren, he's speaking to the church. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of the blood of Jesus by a new and living way, which he has, Jesus has consecrated for us through the veil, which is to say his flesh. And having a high priest, verse 21, over the house of God, listen please, he says this the first of three times. He says, let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Number two, he says this, verse 23, let us also hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Aren't you grateful this morning that he is faithful, even though we are not always faithful? Aren't you thankful that even when we are faithless, he remains faithful? Like, this is his nature. He is faithful. And then we are told this, let us also, verse 24, thirdly and finally here this morning, let us consider one another, and I'm so thankful that this is scriptural, because some of you I'm going to get with this all day long. Listen to what it says here, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some of you is, he says. But at the close of verse 25, exhort one another, so much the more. It's obvious, like especially now, he says, as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Father, we ask you to open your word to us. Settle us in, Lord, to receive from you, Lord, the truths that are in your scriptures this morning. I pray for whatever distractions, Lord, whatever hindrances that would seek to rise up against us, Lord, that you would dismiss them for us. You fight our battles. You go before us, God. You've already done that. You go with us. Stay with us, God. And please rear up the flank this morning. Completely encompass this sanctuary. This whole building, God, our grounds, this premises with your presence. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fall in a mighty and powerful way. This is a holy convocation. And we're asking you, Jesus, that your voice would be loud and clear through my voice. That everything I say would come from you, Lord, and anything I've intended to say or would want to say that is not from you, let me forget about it. Please, Lord, move in wonder now, we ask, in this second service. We thank you for this time in your presence. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's going on here, as you see, the writer says in verse 19, he says, having therefore, and we stop and we say, what is the therefore, right? And it's basically, he's doing this. He's saying, having said what I've said to you for 10 chapters, I mean, I feel as though the writer is essentially feeling pretty good at this point, and he's basically feeling, at least in the depths of his heart from what I perceive, you know, like I've sort of been exhaustive to some degree in the superiority of Jesus Christ. Having therefore gone over with you, Jesus is better than the prophets, Jesus is better than the angels, Jesus is better than Moses, Jesus is better than the Aaronic priesthood, Jesus is better than sacrifices of the Old Testament, Jesus is better than the artifacts in the temple or the tabernacle. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. Jesus is better. And he's done a very thorough job at establishing that truth. And he's worked us hard, hasn't he? He's worked us hard over these last 10 chapters. And he comes now to a transitional portion in this epistle of practical application. I think it's Paul. It seems very Pauline in its writing, because Paul will do something similar in Romans. He lays out all of this doctrine in the opening chapters just to get us to chapter 12 when he says, "And therefore I beseech you, brethren." It's like he takes the onus off what he's writing about or who he's writing to per se, and he puts it on the reader, the hearer, the listener. And the writer is doing that this morning in these verses. He's saying, "I've worked you hard. I've showed you that Jesus is supreme. I showed you that Jesus is superior. I've showed you that Jesus is better than anything or anyone." That's the whole theme of the book. I've given you reason not to turn away from him, not to walk away from him, because some of you are doing that. Some of you are apostatizing. Some of you are leaving the faith. Some of you are growing weary in well-doing. And I can't help but to think that that's probably the case, if not literally, at least the case of contemplation among us here this morning for some of you. The battle is intense. The battle is hard. The straight and narrow, few are on it. Jesus said it from the get-go, you know, few are on it. The broad way, that's the path that the majority are taking. But the straight and narrow that Jesus has called us to in our pursuit of him, it's a difficult path. It's a straight and narrow one. And maybe you're here today too and you're thinking, "Man, I just don't know if I could do it anymore." The writer says, "Listen, having therefore already gone over that with you, listen to me, beloved," he says, "you've got this boldness now where you could enter into the holiest place by the blood of Jesus Christ." He says, by a new and living way. The only time the word new is used in the New Testament is right there in verse 20, where the writer says, we've got something new on our hands. And the word new actually means, it's kind of bizarre, because the next adjective that's used to describe this covenant in Jesus is living, but new means freshly killed. Literally, it means freshly killed. It's when something has been freshly slaughtered, its death is fresh. And you know what that's like. It's been around an animal or even a person. When they first die, the experiences, the senses, and all of those things, there's a rawness to it. And the writer here is saying that we've got something new in Jesus, not just new in time, but new in nature. We've got something that, if you would liken it to anything, it's like it's freshly killed, but it's living. It's actually the most living thing in all of the world. It speaks of real living, if you want to break it down in the Greek. It reminds me of abundant life that Jesus says that we have in him. And he says essentially here in these verses of summation of what's been aforementioned in the opening chapters, he says, listen, beloved, you should have boldness to come into the presence of God. Not arrogance, not haughtiness, not that you should be pretentious and think that you're deserving of it because of your talents and your goods and who you are, but you should have a boldness to come right into the very holy of holies. Now, you might say, okay, keep going, this is review, but the reader would say, the hearer would say of this letter initially, whoa, how could this be? The holy of holies, man, all we're used to doing when we go to the Temple Mount is being blocked from the presence of God. All we're used to doing is being told, stay back, stay back, stay away. The presence of God is behind the veil. Stay away. All there were walls. There, for Old Testament believers, you come to that 35-40 acreage of land in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, and there are literally signage and walls everywhere. The court of the Gentiles, this is as close as you can come. And then the court of the woman, but Jewish woman. So if you're a Gentile woman, forget it. And then the court of the men, but Jewish men. And then where the Levites and the priests would conduct the services, the brazen altar, et cetera, et cetera. But only one man, one time of the year, can go into the Holy of Holies. But even that was blocked with a veil. A veil that was the span of a man's hand and its width. some 60 feet high, 30 feet wide, blocking, saying, you can't come in here. This is where the presence of God is, unless it be Yom Kippur and you're the high priest. One man, one day a year. But we got something new. We got something fresh. There's a freshness in what we've got. There's a real living in what we got in Jesus Christ, and that is access. We don't just have an advocate in Jesus Christ. We have an access because of Jesus Christ. And we get to come boldly into this presence, his presence, glory divine. Is that not amazing? Whoever you are this morning, if you are in Christ, he's speaking to brothers. This is not a pastoral epistle. This is not like it's just the leadership, the bishops, the hierarchy of the church. He's speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ. He says this, there's not prevention, there's invitation. It's not stay back, it's come in to the presence of God. So if you're here today and you say this can't be, it's time for you to set aside how you feel, your notions and your thoughts, and esteem the word of God and what it tells you concerning him. So he's continuing to review here in 19 through 21. He says, we've got something new, brothers and sisters. We get to come into the Holy of Holies because of the blood of Jesus, not our performance, not our excellency, not our good works outweighing our bad works, not us having a good month of behavior, none of that, because of our belief in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is new, and this is the living way which he, Jesus, has dedicated, he's consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And we have Jesus as our high priest over the house of God. Now, therefore, I want you to do these things. He says in verse 22, so let us draw near. I'm calling my message this morning, let us. Let us. Let us do these three things. Listen, let us draw near. It's written in the present tense. It's this is what you should be doing right now. This is one of my favorite sermons that I'll probably ever preach, and I'll tell you why. It's simplistic. It's just this. Here's exactly what you need to be doing if you're a Christian this morning. It doesn't get any easier than that. This is God's revealed will to you and I as the bride of Jesus Christ of what we are supposed to be up to. We don't have to be curious. We don't have to suppose. We don't have to be full of imagination. We don't have to conjure up ideas. This is exactly in the present what you and I are supposed to be doing as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the first of three things is this here. It's that we're to be drawing near. We're to be drawing near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Not one manuscript in the world, the original manuscripts, has the word faith there. It's a weak translation by the King James. It's hope. It would more literally read this, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of hope, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Here's what God says to you this morning as his people. I want you, because of what I've established for you in Jesus, I want you to draw near to me, and I want you to do it with a pure heart. I just want you to come into my presence, this is how God feels, with a heart that is opposite of fictitious. With a heart that is opposite of imaginary. With a heart that is opposite of counterfeit. I don't want you to come in my presence trying to be like Pastor so-and-so. I don't want you to come in my presence trying to be like the person that you're sitting next to that you think is extra spiritual. I don't want you to come into my presence the way that maybe you go into the presence of the church, where it's all this superficial appearing of something that's not even real. It's not even real. I want you to continually come into my presence just like you are. Genuine. And I guess I want to sort of ask you this morning so that this is personal. Please don't show your hands or respond outwardly, but please do inventory. Are you, on October 13th, 2019, are you, on this day, drawing near to God? Or when we speak of drawing near to him, is it a thing of, well, I once was drawing near to him. I used to pray quite a bit, and I used to read my Bible more than I do now, but I'm not really drawing near the way that I used. Listen, he's saying this to you this morning, and you've got to put aside your notions, your feelings, what you've been taught all your life through religion of performance and things of that nature. He's telling you this, you got boldness to come into his presence. You have a boldness that Abba wants you to have. He wants you to come right in boldly and confidently in Christ. And he wants you to do it every single day with a genuine heart. So if you're numb today, you come to him numb. If you're cold today, you come to him cold. If you're calloused today, you come to him calloused. If you're wounded today, you come to him wounded. If you're hurt today, you come to him hurt. You come to him real. You come to him genuine. You come to him in this. You come with anxiety, then come. Come to him as you are. This is the New Testament. This is the new and living way that is superior to the old way in Jesus Christ. Are you doing it? Are you drawing near to God? Because he wants you to. He wants you to. He wants you to draw near to him with a true heart. I'm so overwhelmed that he would want me to come with my wicked heart as is. I'm so overwhelmed that he allows me, he permits me to come into his presence and tells me, hey, let your guard down. This is the only one in all of the world that has any right to cast judgment and tell me to get my act together and tell me to stop being such and such a way. And he says, out of anyone in all the world, the one who has the right to do it says this, I just want you to come. Because time with you as you are is better than no time with you at all. I get it a little. I'm a dad. I'll take any time I can get with my kids. If they're in a bad mood, if they're in an ornery mood, if they're in a whiny mood, at least I have their presence in my presence. And God is saying to you this morning, I want your presence. There's nobody else in all of the world that's you. You're the only one that's you. You're the only one that's fearfully and wonderfully made the way that I've designed you. I just want you. I don't want the old you. I don't want the you that's yet to be, because he's making you into something. He's making you into something. Your destination is not just a place, it's an image. He's making you into something, but in the process, he says, even still, I want you, and I want you every single day, not just on your good day. Anybody else who's like, how could this be right now? Anyone else? Just, I need to know. Is anyone else thinking, this is mind-boggling? For me, it is so soul-stirring and exciting and heart-washing. I could go do sprints right now up and down the aisle. I mean, it just overwhelms my soul to know a God like this, because religion has blundered it. Sterile, cold pastors have made him sound so condemning and harsh and mean. This is my God. This is the God of the Bible. And this is what he says to you and I. And then he says to us, secondly this morning, there's only three things, only three heads of lettuce. Let us hold fast. The first is Godward. The second is inward. The first is faith. The second is hope. What did Paul say in a different portion of Scripture? The greatest are these three: faith, hope, and love. The first is upward. Draw near to God. The second is inward. It's our hope. He says this: let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Listen, that becomes easier the more we draw near and do the first thing. You stop drawing near, it gets easier to perhaps one day renounce, if it gets that bad, your profession and your belief in Jesus Christ. This is not let us hold on to our salvation, because we know that there's a greater one than ourselves that holds on to our salvation. We know that there's an author and a finisher and a worker in the process of our salvation, and that is Jesus. This is not a hold on to your salvation, because he's holding you, so you don't have to sweat it. But this is a hold on to your confession or your profession of your salvation, which means something. It means that some people aren't doing this. The writer doesn't write things just to fill space. The Holy Spirit doesn't move in his heart in vain just to take up more pages in the script. This is necessary. This is happening. That's why he writes in the present tense, hey, listen, you've got to do these things. You have to draw near. Don't stop drawing near to Jesus, and don't stop holding on. Listen, it's continuance. Don't stop continuing, he's saying, with your profession. Don't stop in your continuing, in your following of Jesus. The word hold on here, the translator uses, is an old English word which speaks of tight gripped. It speaks of grasping onto something with like a death grip. You're never gonna let it go. Like if a pit bull bit you, right, and they got jaw lock, you can't get your arm out. So you gotta drive it down its throat. It's that same idea here. Listen, you gotta hold on like a pit bull's mouth will hold on to your arm if it bites you. Or you gotta hold on with everything that you have to your profession. And it's as you draw near to Jesus that will become easier for you. But it's as you retract in your pursuit of Jesus, it will become a thing of, I don't know him. I swear to God, I don't know him, like Peter at the fire. He followed Jesus from a distance. And as he followed Jesus from a distance, he wound up at the enemy's fire, warming himself, cozying up, buddying up with the world. There's an apostasy taking place, he says, where people are renouncing the faith. Once believed, or at least said they believed, and then they're turning their back saying, I'm all set with that. Listen, it's getting worse, not better, since the writer's day. It's only gotten worse. It has to get worse. Because in the last days, men are going to walk away from the faith. They're going to have itching ears. They're going to be lovers of themselves. They're not going to want to be in it to the end. There isn't going to be a continuance. It's going to be the master's minority. And the writer is saying to you and I this morning, let us right now today continue. Continue to follow Jesus. Continue to profess Jesus. And that will be easier as you draw near. Because as you draw near, you experience him, you touch him, you taste him, you fall more in love with him. But you retract in your pursuit, man. You are weaker. I am weaker. We are weaker than we think we are. The ultimate place of doom we will find ourselves is I don't even know him. I used to walk with him. I used to follow him. And our hearts will become so hard and calloused, we'll be unrecognizable. I'm telling you something right now. Listen, please. I already have first service in the books. We already have a solid message if this gets a little bit too raw. I'm going to tell you something right now. It is happening and it will happen. Do not think that you stand or else you will fall. You can look at me right now and think, Pastor, come on. Like, we're here. You're preaching to the choir. I understand. They were once here too. Those who went out from us were once among us. And they're renouncing the faith. They're renouncing. I see Christians. I've been in the church all of my life. I've been in pastoral ministry since full time since 2002. I'm telling you something right now. I've seen people that are in the church grounded, rooted, leading us in praise, teaching God's word, universalist. They're Catholics. They've walked away from nothing but the blood of Jesus can give us that access to embracing other things, saying that's narrow-minded, that's so exclusive. They've lost themselves because they stopped pursuing him. Don't stop following after Jesus. You draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Don't let the world infiltrate, you infiltrate the world. You hold that profession, you hold that ground, you continue.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.